Hello, everyone. You're listening to Dragon Top Podcast with your host, as always, Tim Ronka. Well, everyone, it's great to be back this week with a new edition of Dragon Talk. I hope you guys have all been following my last few episodes. For the past few weeks, I did one on the Sting DVD. So if you guys are interested in picking up the Sting TNA DVD or just hearing about it, I suggest y'all check out the podcast. It's right below this one on the podcast page. It's a very good one. Today, I'm here to talk again about TNA because I feel like I did a lot, but I mean, there's just so much to talk about with TNA because they screw up so much. That's just bottom line, so there's a lot to talk about. So I have to give them credit for that. I'm going to be talking about their pay-per-view Genesis that occurred this past Sunday. I'm going to talk a little bit about their primetime debut. And then I'm also going to give a brief review, preview, of the Survivor Series that will be occurring this Sunday. So if you guys got a few minutes, I suggest you sit back, relax, and enjoy another wonderful episode of Dragon Talk. Now, for the TNA Genesis hit review, I'm going to pretty much be giving you a in-depth look at each of the matches, and then I'm going to go over some trends that I thought were kind of constant during the pay-per-view, some themes and trends I noticed that TNA is doing, and talk a little bit more about the screw-ups they've been putting us through. And so, without any more further ado, let's get ready to it. So anyway, we started out the event with an opener, the Voodoo Kin Mafia against Maverick Mackazarian and Johnny Devine. And what can I say? I mean, I guess of all the matches on the card, this was probably the best idea to have for an opener. Reason being is that the VKM, this new gimmick they're having, it fires up the crowd. And I'm going to talk a little bit about their gimmick right now, actually. What I really don't like about it is that it is really a far cry from what TNA needs to be doing. I mean, they say that they want to be an alternative. They say that they're trying to become wrestling. They're trying to redefine wrestling. All that's all great and good. But don't sit there and bring up WWE every chance you can get. Because there's just no reason for that. TNA is not at a level where they can be competing, logically, financially, and statistically. I mean, that should not be their priority right now. And it's disappointing to see that any chance they get, they're taking shots. Now they've gone so far as to develop an entire angle dedicated to war on WWE. And, okay, it'll get a few fans, pumped for it. But I got a feeling the vast majority of fans aren't going to give a shit about this angle within a few weeks. Because it's going to get old. There's only so much they can do. There's only so much calling out of names you can say. They're not going to show up anywhere. They're not going to lead an invasion of any type. I mean, they might do this, but it's not going to be nearly as good as what, DX did in the 90s, invading WCW. That's just not going to happen. And it's really just a pathetic excuse for a feud. I enjoy that they're trying to give something different for BG James and Kip James. I think that's a good idea. But it's still just really what they shouldn't be doing. So anyway, they're involved in this lame match, and it was basically a squash of these three guys, which is great because their TNA's developing a new stable, so what better way to get them over than have them squashed by two guys that have been way past their prime? That's just retarded on my part. On TNA's part, not my part. It's retarded thinking on TNA's part, and that's my thoughts. Okay, there you go. I straightened it out. Anyway, so I just think that was just ridiculous, and yes, the match got the crowd pumped, but it made really logically no sense. It's going to do more worse than it did good down the line, especially the promo they did. And that was just kind of lame. I enjoyed that Raven came out because we knew that he was obviously the higher power. We knew that was going to happen. But instead of getting a promo, we get him just caning the hell out of Johnny Devine for apparently no reason. And stuff like that's okay. I could see that maybe happening on an Impact, but not on pay-per-view time. Not when I'm looking forward to seeing more matches. I don't want to see crazy stuff like this going down. Because that's not going to make me want to tune in. It's going to make me get turned off. So this is actually a trend I'm going to talk more about as the show goes on. Just because it drove me nuts. So then after we got done with that mess of a match, we had the Naturals against Sanjay Dutt and Jay Lethal. Second match of the night with little to no build-up. No reason for this match at all. First of all, there was no explanation of where Team 3D was. All they showed was them being put through the tables, but were they hospitalized? Were they recovered? What was going on? I didn't hear. They might have said something. I mean, I was talking a lot during the event, so maybe I didn't hear it, but there was really nothing outstanding that told us where they were. And the Naturals, they had, of course, the backstage segment where Shane Douglas did pretty much the carbon copy promo of how the Naturals are better than this, blah, blah, blah. This match really did nothing for anyone. I mean, I'm really liking that TNA has done something with the Naturals and trying to, quote-unquote, refranchise them. That's very cool. But there was really no reason for them to come out there and destroy Sanjay Dutt and Jay Lethal when these two guys have been destroyed enough as it is. And plus, the match made no sense, so there was really no point in having it. The match was decent, but it bored me after a while because there's no build-up to it, and the psychology was way off, as always, in most TNA matches. Too many spots, too much crammed into, 10 minutes, and it was just tiring to watch, and we all knew the Naturals would win, so it was like, stop delaying the inevitable, just get them over. So that was my problem there. So finally, we moved into the only decent match of the evening, which was the X Division Championship, Daniels versus Sabin. I'm a very big fan of Sabin, not as big a fan as Daniels, but I think both of them pulled off a really good match. I enjoy that Sabin's being pushed as a heel. That's one thing I think Russo is kind of doing right in TNA, is giving Sabin some kind of attitude adjustment, as long as they don't bury him, which they might be doing as we speak, because he lost the title match. He lost the title, the day after having it, and then, whatever, lost again last night. Excuse me, but anyway, what the problem is the match was very good. I think that it was a little rushed, and there really was no reason for that, because the pay-per-view ended minutes early, and there were way too many backstage segments that could have been cut significantly, and I don't know, it was a decent match. Probably the best match of the night, but it really isn't saying that much. Okay, really, really not. So, moving on, we have Christian Cage going on with AJ Styles. I was really mad to hear about this match, because Christian AJ was one of those feuds where, when Christian first came in the TNA this time last year, people were like, that'd be a really cool feud if, Christian one day goes up against AJ Styles. Because it had, a really big inter-promotional feel, because it would have, would have AJ Styles of TNA versus Christian Cage, who's, mostly from WWE. And not only that, it seemed the two would have a good chemistry. Christian has the good mic skills and the good charisma to get a good feud going, which would help out AJ because he tends to lack in that department. And then AJ would help Christian out in the match terms of things. So it has, the makings of a really good feud. Instead, they have, only the past 2 weeks we've had some brief exchanges where Cage came out. He hit Styles with the steel chair and said he's number one contender. And then they had another brief exchange on the primetime special. And that apparently gives us room for a match now. Now, I wouldn't have had a problem, really, much of his, lose my words here. I wouldn't have much of a problem with this match had they, maybe furthered the angle a bit more, or, done some kind of finish where maybe they'll fight again on a different date, but it was basically a pawn in turning AJ heel and just giving Christian something to do. And the whole AJ turning heel thing, I hope they do more on that, because I've been advocating an AJ Styles heel turn. Because I think if they're going to do Daniels AJ again, AJ should be the heel this time, just to change things up. But they gotta do it a better way than this. They can't just have one mess up on the Parkers for Daniels to make AJ hate him, okay? That's just dumb. Then the whole thing with, Rhino and everyone coming out and trying to stop everyone, it just got tiring. It killed the crowd. And even the actual match could have been a lot better. Christian and AJ, I think, everything considered, could have done a better job with this match, and they didn't. I think I was very disappointed in it. So, the match was bad, the angle in which it was presented was bad, and then the stuff that happened after the match was bad. So it was just, that was like a whole black hole of crowd killing right there. Which is a really shame, because these were, these are two former NWA champions. AJ Styles, of course, former X Division champion, one of the, homegrown talent of TNA. Christian, who's one of the big names brought in to TNA, and you had these two go together. You'd think it would be a good match, but it just really turned out to be a dud. It's kind of disappointing, actually. So, anyway, after we got through that monstrosity of a match, we move on to the NWA World Tag Team Championship, which is LAX versus America's Most Wanted. I have no really problem with the idea of this match, but again, this is one of those... We're getting another turn here. And this is another trend I'm going to talk about later. It's just way too many heel face turns going on now. But nonetheless, there was really no reason for AMW to turn face. I know that they have a heel stable, I guess, in the Naturals now, and I guess in LAX. But this is just a quick fix to do something with AMW in the meantime until they do something else. I mean, I don't know why they bothered teasing that they were going to break up when they were just going to turn them face and have them lose to LAX. It's just dumb. I'm glad they didn't win because they didn't deserve to win. But still, I mean, the match I found was really dragging at points. It lost structure. There was really no psychology to it. Midway through the match, they just didn't care about the rules anymore. It was just, you know, two guys in and out. Then there was four guys in and out, and there was no tags, really. There was no hot tag. There was no psychology of a decent tag match in there. The spots that they did weren't even that great. It was just a really bland, very generic TNA match, and it was very disappointing. We knew LAX would win, and then we have probably one of the worst booking decisions I've ever seen. Jim Cornette comes out and strips LAX of the titles. There's just no reason to do that. I mean, first of all, it makes LAX look like total idiots. It does make LAX, but I meant to say America's Most Wanted. They couldn't come out there and get the job done. So what does happen? They're already struggling faces as it is. They aren't over as faces at all because they've been heel for over a year now. And then what happens then? Jim Cornette comes out to the rescue and saves them and says, "Well, you guys can get the job done, so I'm going to strip them of the titles." And it was the titles were stripped on a premise of politics, not on anything that was violated in wrestling. LAX, you know, they didn't cheat or anything like that. Well, I guess they did to an extent during the match, but that wasn't the reason given as to why they were stripped. And they were stripped because of the flag burning thing. And it's like, come on. You can't come up with something better than that. It was just very disappointing. Very, very disappointing. And so, of course, we have that go down. And what's sad is that the crowd booed. The crowd actually booed this decision. Because they know LAX is a hot commodity. And there's no reason for them to be look like total idiots, look like total chumps, and just have the title stripped off them. Just so you can have AMW versus them again, and most likely have LAX win them back. Because really, I don't see AMW winning them. There's no reason for them to. This is just giving them something to do before something they go on to better things. And so, it's just really just illogical, and I'm going to talk more about this later. So now we have Abyss versus Sting, and the match was okay. I mean, it was decent. I marked out for Sting taking that bump in the thumbtacks. I didn't think he would. I mean, as soon as I saw the thumbtacks go out, I figured that'd be Abyss going down on those, but of course not. But I was obviously wrong about that. It was actually Sting, and I thought that was pretty good of Sting to take that bump, but he didn't have to do that, especially his age and his status. But besides that, there was really nothing too special to the match, and we all know how the DQ ending went. That just blew my mind. I have not... They better have a very good explanation for that, because it made zero sense. I mean, I really feel like I was watching WCW with that finish. That just made zero sense, and they better have a good explanation for that. Really nothing more to say on that match, which is kind of sad considering it was the main event. But, or one of the main events, I should say. Then we move on to the talk of the town, the match that everyone was talking about, the dream match of the decade. All the TNA marks were saying this was going to be a 5-star match, and blah, blah, blah. And what killed it? Booking, as always. Booking, booking, booking. The match started about, 10:25, I think. I looked at the clock, and my clock said that. 15 minutes later, they were done. So, you're looking at, 10:40, they finished the match. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Because when they started at 10:25, I'm like, oh, they're gonna give them at least 20 minutes here. Instead, we barely got 15. At the time the match ended, I thought that it was gonna keep getting better than that. I think they were really working towards a bigger finish. But it just was very disappointing to give it 15 minutes like that. And, I thought for what it was, the match was okay. The actual time went down. I think it was, a three-and-a-half-star match. I think they both did a really good job. I was impressed with... I think Angle looked a little bit healthier. I still don't think he should be near a wrestling ring, but he did look a little bit healthier than he used to since we last saw him. And also, he took some pretty nasty bumps in there. I don't think he should have taken, but he says he can, so whatever. So the match on its own was okay, but not what anyone was looking forward to. And then it ends with the horrible Angle where they want to shake hands, and then Angle says no, and they walks out, and we're left with not knowing what the hell is going on. Are we saying, is Angle a heel? Is Joe going to chase Angle? What's the deal here? We don't know what's going on. Then we cut to Don West and Tanay talking like it's just like nothing's happening. They're acting like nothing just happened. They're like, well, what a match that was, blah, 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 and the pay-per-view goes off. Just awful. What an awful way to end an event. to have your announcer sitting there just talking it up. Because obviously there was all steak and no sizzle. Now, one of the biggest trends I noticed during this card was, like, there's almost seems to be a reverse booking strategy going on. Instead of having angles, now what I mean by that is instead of having angles and storylines played out on Impact to then have customers, or not customers, I'm thinking school terms here, to have viewers intrigued and then go out and want to buy the pay-per-view to see how the angles are resolved, instead we're having angles start on pay-per-view. Now, I'm all for, like, the occasional heel turn or the occasional start of an angle on pay-per-view. That's all good. Now, WWE does it all the time. It's worked for them. TNA's done it in the past. It works. But you don't do, like, five or six angles start on one event and have all these, like, what the hell just happened moments, because that just kills the product. There's just no reason for that. I mean, just to name a few, I mean, the whole stripping of the tag titles for political reasons was total bull. Sting losing a title by DQ was ridiculous, was not explained at all. You know, AJ getting pissed off at Daniels at the end, walking out on him was stupid. Raven coming out there, caning the hell out of Devine, Bentley, and Kazarian was ridiculous. And all these things happened that didn't make sense. And it's okay for that to happen, like, once or twice, but you don't do that all in one pay-per-view, and then because that's going to be people like, what the hell just happened? Now, I'm assuming the idea behind this is that, well, now they're going to tune into Impact and see what happened. That's a good strategy, but you don't, I mean, it's like I said earlier, it's good to do it, like, maybe, like, once or twice. Have one big angle, have that happen with, to have people intrigued. Don't, like, cram, like, five or six, you know, twists and turns in there and expect people to be turned on by it. They're going to be turned off. In fact, I guarantee you, many people will not tune in to Impact this Thursday because they've had enough. I mean, 3 hours of TNA a week is that's all you need. They don't need to keep going on a Thursday because they're just going to be going nuts. They're going to lose their mind with the insanity that was this pay-per-view. And it was, I mean, just the amount of face and heel turns you got going on. They have AMW as faces now. They have Saban as a heel. They have AJ kind of turning. They have, you know, Angle walking out on Joe for no apparent reason. Didn't make any sense. We have all these changes in gimmicks. We had this Raven group going on. The Naturals are apparently heels now. Like, there's just so much changing at one time, and there's just no way to grasp. And, I mean, if it's hard for someone like me who's been following the product for the past few years now, pretty closely, going to TNA live shows, reviewing shows, you know, if I miss a show, I go back and watch it so I know what's going on. For someone like me that follows it and then is still baffled at what the hell is going on, there is a huge problem that is just unexcusable. And if someone like me is having that problem, how is, like, a normal viewer they're trying to get a Thursday night at 9 if you when they turn this on and in that 60 minutes, or I guess more like 50 minutes, if you include commercial time, they have, in 50 minutes, they have all this stuff just crammed into their heads. Like, they see a 3-hour show in a 50-minute show. That's what you feel like is happening. And it's just, there's way too much going on at one time right now. They really need to slow things down. I know Russo's probably, like, going nuts back there with the book now, changing everything around and making things as absurd and insane as he wants, but it's really, really doing damage to their product, and there is no reason for it. Absolutely no reason at all. There's so many easier ways you could get around doing things instead of changing everyone's character, making heel turns, making face turns, making ludicrous booking decisions that make you want to slit your wrists and vomit at the stupidity of them. And there's just no reason for it. Absolutely no reason. And so that's basically my thoughts on TNA Genesis, because it was just lousy. I think one of the other reasons I was really disappointed in pay-per-view was because the primetime special is very strong. But what I saw with the primetime special was that they put, you know, to use an analogy, they put all their eggs in one basket. I mean, they put everything they had into the event. I mean, I didn't agree with having Angle beat Abyss and then have Abyss go win the title on Sunday. I think that was kind of dumb. You don't have your number one contender lose and then win. But, you know, putting that aside, I mean, I think most of the event had a very nice quality to it. It didn't feel like 2 hours. It went by very fast because they paced things better. They had a constant theme going on the show, you know, with LAX burning the flag. That was a constant theme going on. They had all the makings. They had the formula down for a great show. And sadly, they you know, whatever viewers they lured in with that show to pay-per-view are going to be totally turned off, and I guarantee they're going to be ordering pay-per-view for a while. I know I won't be. I mean, I ordered it just to see Angle Joe, and I knew it was going to be a rough, you know, few hours before that happened. I didn't know it was going to be that bad. I didn't know I'd want to just take a nap because I was so drained physically and mentally of watching this event. And so, it was very disappointing, to say the least, very disappointing. And I really hope that they start picking things up. I mean, they're going to spend their entire, you know, episode of Impact surgery attempting to explain everything that went down on pay-per-view, and that's a bad position to be in because it turns viewers off. Because viewers don't want to be confused and say, well, why this happened? They want to see what's going to happen next. They don't want to know why this happened. They want to know what. They want to see it. They actually want to know what's going to happen. And, you know, it's good to have these swears every now and then, but don't throw them all in the one night, and especially all in one pay-per-view. It's just ludicrous. Just absolutely ludicrous. It's the only way to describe what happened. So, just to end this now, because I'm losing my voice, I'm talking so long. I just want to talk a little bit about Survivor Series this Sunday. I'm not going to go match by match, but I am going to say that it looks like a very good event. I think that them bringing back the... They have 3 elimination matches this year. I think doing that is a very good decision. It brings back the Spirit of Survivor Series. And the way that they're randomly paired is very good, too. I like that. I think that's one of the reasons why matches were announced on WWE.com, because there's really no way to match them on TV, since a lot of booking decisions would conflict with each other because there's a lot of co-branding going on and all that, which is dumb in of itself, actually. But putting that aside, I think that the event will be very good, minus Batista, Booker T, and... So, I am looking forward to it, definitely. Now, on that note, I would like to wish everyone that celebrates Thanksgiving a happy Thanksgiving this Thursday. If you're bored, why not check out some more shows? That's all I gotta say. Now, I'm gonna plug a few things now before I go. I still have a little contest open for people that want me to change the name of my talk show, want me to have like a more wrestling-related name. I kind of want to change it, too. I've had some really great decisions coming in, but I'd like to get a few more so I can finally make a decision. Of course, the person will be credited with it if that's any sort of consolation prize. I don't know. I might be able to get you on the show if I pick your name and all that stuff. And so I think hopefully you have some kind of motive to send in a better name for me if you want. I like a name I have, but I think... It might be easier, I might get more exposure if I use a more wrestling-oriented name, so that's kind of like my whole decision there. Second thing I want to plug is thewrestlingasylum.com. These are discussion forums. They're one of the best on the internet right now. There's a lot of activity there. There's tons of multimedia. There's incentives to post more. There's e-feds, there's fantasy booking, there's interactive features like pools. All kinds of things like that. It's a really great forum right now. They've just shaken up some of the administration there, so it's kind of like under a new management kind of deal, and it was good before, it's going to get even better, so I really hope you should all check it out. Especially what I want you to check out there is the eFed, which is called Total Wrestling Annihilation. Now, I've never eFed'd before, and I just joined this one because it's brand new, and a few weeks ago, and I'm trying to, you know, see what the whole eFed experience is about. They're doing an excellent job with it. Anyone that knows to Wrestling Asylum knows that there's been some problems with eFed staying afloat in the past there, but this one seems to be doing very well. I'm RPing for the first time there. I'm, you know, figuring out the ins and outs, so they're very more than welcoming to have new people come in, because I was totally new. They accepted me, whatever. I did fine. Or am doing okay. It's a lot of fun. If you want a little hobby on the side to calm you down, I really suggest trying the eFed, because you can role play your own character made up. You can role play a real wrestler. I mean, I'm role playing Darth Vader as a Star Wars character. So I mean, you can do whatever you want there, and you can it's really fun. And there's a lot of great guys there to talk to, and you make a lot of friends. It's a really fun experience. I really think you should all check it out. So that's all at thewrestlingasylum.com, and it's a great thing. So once again, everyone, I'd like to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. Send me your comments, please, by email. AIM information's all there. You can use the comments box. If you liked this show, I suggest you click the send to a friend link, because the more times my feed is viewed, the higher my ranking is on Podomatic and other websites that I'm on, so that'd be really cool. And until next time, this has been From the Eye of the Dragon. Take care, everyone.